It's 9:30 in the morning. As in the offices of attorney Perry Mason, Della Street puts a stack of folders on the file clerk's desk, assigns routine tasks to the stenographers and typists, and then takes the morning mail into the lawyer's private office.
Yes. Oh, all right, I'll speak to him, Gertie. Good morning, Mr. Merriweather. Well, I'm sorry, but Mr. Mason's in conference. No, not until next Tuesday. 11:15. Fine. All right, Mr. Merriweather. Oh, yes. Oh, well, ask her to wait in here, Gertie, so we won't waste a second when Mr. Mason finishes his conference. Oh, good morning, Miss Street. Oh, hello, Mrs. Barkley. Come in. Mr. Mason will be here in just a moment. Excuse me. Who, Gertie? Who? Oh, well, put him on. Sit down, Mrs. Barkley.
Oh, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Radcliffe. No, not before the end of next week. Yes, of course, I'll be glad to. Yes. Goodbye.
You're very busy this morning, just usual routine.
How's Suzanne this morning?
She was still asleep when I left the house.
Good morning, Mrs. Barkley.
Oh, hello, Mr. Mason.
Excuse me, Della. Penny Packer and Steve on another conference next week.
All right, Chief, I'll schedule that.
Yes. It's Mr. Corey, Chief.
10 minutes.
Ask him to phone back in 10 minutes, Gertie.
All right, now, Mrs. Barkley. Oh, just a moment. Merriweather phone?
Yes, he did. Here's a list of calls.
Let me see. I saw my broker 2 days ago. I'll take that. Gertie, give us 10 minutes. Mrs. Barkley, did your brother explain why I asked to see you?
No, he didn't. Only that Suzanne refuses to give you the identity of the man called Gus.
Oh.
I was shocked, Mr. Mason. I thought Suzanne wanted to reveal his identity.
She does.
Then why didn't she?
I think she will.
But isn't it too late now? The papers have announced Suzanne's return. Surely the man has gone away, perhaps left the country.
I don't think so. He knows Suzanne has not talked. And he knows why she hasn't. So do we. Your daughter is afraid.
Of course she is. She ran away because she's afraid of him.
But she is not only afraid for herself. She's afraid for you.
Me?
Yes, Mrs. Barkley. Suzanne came out of hiding only when she thought you were beyond Gus's power. She came back with every intention of revealing everything she knows. Then she learned that you are alive.
What can we do, Mr. Mason? I'm not afraid of him.
There is reason to fear him. Oh, you're perfectly safe as long as Suzanne does not talk. Gus doesn't dare harm you, because if he did, he would then lose his hold on Suzanne.
There must be some way.
There is. Mrs. Barkley, Suzanne has been terrified for months. And fear is like, well, rage or hate or any strong emotion. It warps the judgment. You don't think straight. Now, I believe in time she would decide to tell the truth. We don't have the time, Mrs. Barkley. We can be certain Gus will make every effort to reach Suzanne.
Reach her? Oh. You mean...
Lieutenant Halverson is in charge of protecting Suzanne, and Halverson is a very good officer. But until we know who Gus is, until Suzanne does talk, we are on the defensive. Gus has the initiative. Now, I could explain this to Suzanne.
You want me to?
If you will. But let me warn you. Once we learn who he is, once we start moving against Gus and put him on the defensive, he may well strike back at you. Now, we'll do everything possible to protect you, just as we are protecting Suzanne. But no defense is perfect.
I would be in the same danger Suzanne is in now.
Yes.
Suzanne is in danger now.
She is, in spite of police officers and private operatives guarding her. No defense is perfect.
All right, Mr. Mason.
You will speak to Suzanne?
Immediately.
Now, if you have any questions...
No, no questions, Mr. Mason. I won't take any more of your time. You've things to do. So have I. Good day, Mr. Mason.
As you know, Mason's right. Gus Jansen is planning to reach Suzanne, which is why Gus enters a small animal hospital. And now, a moment later...
Come in.
Well, I'm interested in... Well, I asked to speak to one of the veterinarians.
I'm a vet.
Oh? Well, that's too bad.
Why?
Well, it's a shame to waste that beauty on dumb animals.
What beauty I have isn't wasted, mister.
My name is Smith.
Mr. Smith. My husband is very appreciative.
He should be. He's a very lucky man.
He's also a very good vet. Would you like to speak to him?
You can give me the information, Dr.
Hayes.
Dr. Hayes. I want to buy a dog.
But this isn't a commercial kennel, Mr. Smith.
Yes, I know, but a friend of mine bought a dog from you, last year sometime.
Well, it's true our clients occasionally want to sell a dog, and we board the dog until it's sold.
Have you any for sale now?
Why, yes, several. What kind of dog do you want, Mr. Smith?
Well, I'm not particular, if you would show me.
Yes, of course. Through this door. It opens directly onto the kennels.
Allow me. All of these for sale?
No, only a few of them. Most of these are boarding with us. Now, here's a six-month-old Scotty. AKC registration papers in order.
Let's look further, if you please.
Very well. Perhaps if you'd give me an idea of the kind you want...
Well, let's just keep looking, shall we?
As I told you, we've only a few. Hello, BB. I'll take you over to the other row of...
Oh, here's the kind I want, Doctor. A dachshund. Hello there. What's his name?
It's a female. Her name is BB.
Hello, BB. Would you like to go home with me?
I'm sorry, Mr. Smith. BB isn't for sale.
Oh, really?
She belongs to a Miss Barkley.
Who?
Suzanne Barkley. The girl who disappeared and just came home. Her mother and her uncle retained Perry Mason to find her, and he did. You heard of Perry Mason.
He's a lawyer or something, isn't he?
That's right, a lawyer. Both Suzanne's uncle and her mother are very wealthy.
It's very interesting, but it doesn't settle the problem of this little dog.
Well, there is no problem, Mr. Smith. Bebe belongs to Suzanne.
Well, I suppose the girl, Suzanne Barkley, you say? I don't suppose she wants Bebe.
Why?
If she wants the dog, she'd take it home.
Well, Suzanne just got home.
She hasn't sent for Bebe?
Well, not yet, but she's very fond of Bebe.
Such a nice little dog. May I pet her?
If you want to. Bebe is everybody's favorite. She is cute, isn't she?
And friendly. I like a friendly dog. Oh, what's this?
Hmm?
It's a strange-looking dog collar. Well, it's a locket.
Yes, you can open it. See? There's a little plaque inside. You can read it. I belong to Suzanne Barkley, and I live at 101 Lazona Drive, and my name is Bebe. Please send me home if I get lost.
Doctor, could you find out if Suzanne still wants her dog?
I suppose I can.
Can you do it now? I mean, phone?
Well...
Please. I'll stay here with Bebe.
You really want her, don't you? All right, Mr. Smith. I'll be back in a moment.
All right, Bebe. Be still while I open the locket. Lie still. Now, put my message to Suzanne inside. You remember me, Bebe? Remember when I gave Suzanne this locket for your collar? There. Just in time.
I'm afraid it's bad news, Mr. Smith.
Oh, you speak to Miss Barkley?
Well, not to her.
Who did you speak to?
One of the servants. Suzanne very definitely wants to keep Bebe. As a matter of fact, she wants to deliver today.
Today?
Yes, I'm awfully sorry. But we've a few others.
I'm sorry, too, Doctor, but after seeing Bebe, I couldn't be interested in another dog, not today. Perhaps later. Well, I'll put her back in her cage.
Be careful, sir.
I'll be most careful, believe me. I'll be careful. I wouldn't have anything happen to Bebe for the world. Goodbye, Bebe. Goodbye, Doctor. Thank you very much. Very much.
What do you think was written on the tiny slip of paper Gus Jansen slipped into the locket on Bebe's collar? What do you think will happen when Suzanne reads that message? You'll join us tomorrow, won't you?